Great Scott! What's up, Gen Xers? I am Stu Monkey. I support Gen X grown-ups on Patreon because it's a lot easier than trying to get a 1982 DeLorean to 88 miles per hour. Just go to genxgrownup.com/patreon to learn more. And now, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up. Your dinner cannot just be French fries.
Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up podcast listeners, to this backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown Up podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, my friends and co-hosts, Mo.
Hey, everybody.
And, of course, George is here.
Who's apparently not a friend and co-host. He's just here. Hello, everyone.
It was plural. You always set me up like I'm an evil dude. My two friends and two co-hosts, Mo and George. Is that better? Like that better?
That's better.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess.
Wow. It's all like, nobody's ever had. Today, we grab our cell phones and call pretty much anybody, anywhere without a second thought. But it used to be that placing a call to anyone more than a few miles away could result in a hefty phone bill at the end of the month. In this backtrack, we look back on something that has thankfully changed for the better: long-distance phone calls.
Changed in that it's no longer here?
Yes. Yeah.
That is better.
For all intents and purposes, yeah.
No kidding. I know that I had some sticker shock in my youth due to bad planning and calling long distance.
So did my parents.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about my parents, not me. It was my parents that did it. Yeah, for sure. So we're going to dig into all of that. But before we do, it is time for some fourth listener email. We knew there's the three of us and we're going to listen to the show. But if anybody else does and they write in, we assume that's the fourth listener. And the fourth listener this episode is Uno Clay, one of our longtime listeners and Patreon supporters. Thank you, Uno Clay. And the subject line of his email is Godzilla episode.
Oh, that's going back a little bit.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. He's digging back in the back catalog. He is. Yeah. Uno Clay says, "Hi, Gen X. I'm always months behind on my podcast. Too many great people like you to keep up with. But I was just listening to the Godzilla backtrack and wanted to add, I'm not a big Godzilla fan."
That's okay.
All right.
Okay.
It's fine.
Good email subject to go with, huh?
Apparently that wasn't the backtrack for you then, was it?
Yeah.
In fact, he says the Shin Godzilla was the best one I've seen, and even that one was just okay.
Huh. Okay.
Shin Godzilla? Like, is that between the knee Godzilla and the ankle Godzilla?
Right.
Oh, my God. Wait,
it's like the foot Godzilla connected to the Shin Godzilla.
My God.
The Shin, I think. What is that, Mo? Is
people save me. Shin Godzilla, it was one of the more modern reboots they did of Godzilla. So it came out like 2016, and it basically kind of restarted the whole new Godzilla, but it was done like in Japan. It was Japanese Godzilla.
What does Shin mean? Is that mean reboot or?
I don't know what the exact word Shin actually means. I just
know it's between your knee and your foot. We've already established.
Oh my God. Anywho. But yeah, and it was actually cool because it was rebooted.
Was it good?
I liked it because, you know, it was a lot more of the modern special effects and actually had a decent story behind it too. So it was, I liked it. It was pretty good.
Okay. And in 2016, so.
Yeah, it's 2016. Mm-hmm.
Well, he just said it was just okay. He didn't even care for that one, really.
Well, since he didn't like the rest, I'll take it.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. He goes on to say, but I'd like to add a vote for Cloverfield as the best, air quotes, Godzilla movie ever.
I don't know about Godzilla movie, but it's a good movie.
It's a really good kaiju movie. It kind of came out of nowhere. It was one of those shaky cams in the early stages of shaky cam videos, right?
Yeah, trying to Blair Witch-ish, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, Uno Clay says J.J. Abrams made that film as a sort of tribute to the kaiju style of monster film.
It was, yeah.
And although some might not love it for the incessant use of shaky cam, as you said, I adore the sense of fear and terror Cloverfield manages to create. You barely ever see the Godzilla monster. Mm-hmm. You're not quite sure what it is or why it's happening, and presents the ultimate bug's eye view of what a real 2,000-foot monster attack would truly feel like.
Yeah, but it was a good movie, though. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
It was, yeah.
It was different from Godzilla movies for me in one thing. Like, Mo's the Godzilla expert, so if I'm wrong, he'll tell me. But to me, it always felt like Godzilla movies, the focal point was the monster. It was like they were trying to show the world view through the monster, like all the big shots were directly on the monster, and you kind of got an emotional feel for the monster. But in Cloverfield, it felt like it was – very small, just that group of people and what was happening around them. So the monster was this horrible threat, but like you said, you barely saw it until certain scenes, and it was more of just a never-ending adrenaline surge panic attack type of film, where Godzilla movies come across to me as more of commentary on society.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're going with that. I mean, because it was like the shaky cam, it definitely gives you that personal view. You know, you only know what they know when they know it, and that kind of thing.
Right.
It's a kaiju giant monster movie, so, you know, there's always a place for that for me, like puppets for you, John.
Right.
It's got giant monsters, I'm there.
Yeah, Uno Clay just says, can't recommend it enough if you haven't seen it. So, yeah, yeah. I mean, we've all seen it, yeah, and I think you're right.
So we're ahead of the ball.
Anyway, thanks for the fun work you do on the show. Listener number 4 from Philadelphia, Uno Clay.
Nice.
A little riff on our fourth listener forever. Thank you, Uno Clay. We always appreciate you. Thank you for your ongoing support and listenership. We love it every time the fourth listener writes in. Hey, if you're listening and have something to say, you'd like to have your email featured here on the show, it's easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single email, and most of them, like Uno Clay's, eventually will make the show. All right. Well, I have a phone call to make, and luckily it's you guys, and we're on the internet, so it's not going to cost a damn thing, but we are going to talk about long distance.
I was dreading where he was going to segue to somehow.
What kind of stupid ass segue is he going to have? It's always at this crapshoot. Right after this break.
Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack. And it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show, too. It helps more than you know.
Someone should talk to you about how much time you spend on the phone and who you talk to and when and where. A Sprint representative can easily help you select a savings plan for your personal calling needs. And Sprint has better overall savings than AT&T. So there's a plan that's perfect for you. Unless, of course, you're a teenager.
I can't believe it.
No one's invented the perfect plan for that.
Oftentimes our backtracks talk about something that has changed dramatically or something that had a sequel that is a little bit different or a top 10 or something. But this is one of those, like the VHS or the rotary phone, that has just, by God, gone away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should take a second here in this first segment to talk about why long distance phone calls were a thing, why they cost more money in general, because the odds are, if you're listening, you're not a Gen Xer, you might be shocked to hear that depending on who you called, it might cost more money.
Yeah. A lot of money.
It was a different time for sure. Mm. I know my youngest son, Michael, has never really heard of long distance calls. Mm-hmm. And when we were planning this episode, I said, oh, yeah, we're doing a podcast all about long distance calls. And he's like, you guys can see how many miles the call goes from one to.
I mean, almost. No.
That's not what I'm talking about, son. We used to have to pay for calls that went to different area codes. You know how now on your cell phone you type out 10 digits? Back in our day, it was 7 digits if it was local. And if you had to put those extra digits in, it was costing you and your parents some money.
Cha-ching. Yeah. That's right. Well, I mean, it's called long distance. Some people call it trunk calls or toll calls for a variety of reasons. Basically, it was if you made a call outside of what they called your local area, and as you said, George, usually that meant your area code. Not always, but almost always, that was pretty much the defining factor. Then it was free. Making a call was covered by your monthly service. So just whatever your monthly phone bill was, great. You can make all those calls that you want, right? You could just sit on the phone all day if you wanted. However, if you wanted to make a call that was outside of your little bubble, that was called long distance. Yeah. And that was billed by the minute.
Yes, it was.
And if you rolled 1 second over a minute, that was another minute. You were saying, that was 2 minutes. And they were not shy about billing. It was dollars a minute based on how far you were calling.
Yeah, it wasn't prorated either. It wasn't like, oh, minute and 32 seconds, we'll prorate you the 28 seconds you didn't use.
Negative. Nope. Nope. That's 2 minutes. You had two basic types. You had international long distance or domestic, which is pretty obvious. You know, so it's domestic is inside of your country or international is to another country. In the U.S., it was broken down even further because we have all these 50 states and we're this large country. And you had intrastate or interstate. So intrastate inside of, you know, if you're inside of Florida or inside of Louisiana, and you made a call to another place in Louisiana, but outside of your local calling area. This is getting confusing already.
I always get those two confused between and inter, that always throws me, because inter sounds like it's inside, intra sounds like it's outside, but it's the other way around.
The other way around. Throws me off. And weirdly enough, even though intrastate inside of your own state is technically closer, that usually costs more than interstate going to another state.
It depends. It could.
Yeah, very often. The average cost, it would cost more to call two counties over than it did to call two states over.
You know, that had to be on purpose because my guess is they figured you probably didn't stray that far away from your family, so they're going to charge more for those types of calls, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
You're not too far off. Mm. So you got to wonder, why did it cost more? You're just making a phone call. You're just talking to people. But there was some method to their madness, although there were some shenanigans going on.
Oh, so, yeah. Big time.
Initially, so we had telegraph lines first. So back in my day, so even before our day, before phones, there were telegraph lines, and they were just they were just sending, and it was just a wire they were sending stuff across. So they started using telegraph lines, but they didn't have the fidelity you needed to send a human voice. It just sounded crappy. So they had to upgrade those. Like think of like, you know, upgrading, you know, the interstate system for highways, right? You had to upgrade your highways to handle high speed cars and things like that. So they were trying to offset the cost of upgrading those lines. It's just like you do like on a toll road. Like I'm going to upgrade a road. You go, oh, well, if you guys are going to use this road, we're going to charge you a toll when you travel on this high speed, you know, interstate. And that's going to help pay the cost of upgrading the road. They were trying to do that with upgrading these phone lines that were stretched across the
world. Right now, you sound more like a shill for the phone companies than you do somebody. Because the truth of the matter is, all of those upgrades and all those costs were paid for years ago with all the fees. Now it became like when I was a kid, they were maintaining those lines. Bullshit. They didn't touch any of those
lines.
Toll
roads are the same damn way. When's the last time you saw them say, hey, the road's paid off, let's turn off the tolls? Yeah. No. They keep giving me money, right?
But the roads slowly erode and break down over time. Those lines, they didn't break down unless there was a storm or something like that, or a tree limb falling on them. That's the only time they went and maintained them. Yeah. So there wasn't a guy who was going around with a magnifying glass going, little nibble of rat here. We got to replace this whole line. No, that wasn't happening.
Yeah. I also think it's one of those cases where they could get away with it because back in when long distance first started, you actually had to manually go through operators. Oh, I'll connect you to somebody in this state who will connect you to that state. And blah, 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 you know, and I think in people's heads when I say, well, yeah, we have to charge you more. I think people are like, well, of course it makes sense. It's further, right?
Because it's a human being who's being paid for.
Right.
Yes.
As time went on and they said, you know, long distance was still more. I think it's just like known, right? Long distance costs more money. Although, again, you think about like exactly as you said, it's like once the lines are there, I mean, back then with telephone lines, I mean, there was limits on how many calls could go through at a time. And some of those costs were set up to kind of limit that to help keep it open for important stuff. But yeah, generally speaking, they were just taking advantage of everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's less knowledge equaled acceptance, right? So when my grandmother would think about calling us, she lived in Kentucky, we lived in Florida. When she would think about calling us, to her, that was an amazing thing, because growing up as a child,
yeah,
they didn't even hardly have phone lines in her mm-hmm. area of mm-hmm. the country. I mean, they had them, but not everybody even had a phone in their house. We've talked about phones in the houses in other podcasts, mm-hmm. but for her to call us, it was this amazing thing. So of course she should be charged for that. That's a premium thing in her life.
Uh-huh. Right.
But
yeah.
to 27 million people that lived in New York that all had phones, Mo, like you guys yeah. did, calling one another across different parts of the city that had different area codes because there were so many phone numbers, not because they were so far apart. Why, you guys, I'm sure, were like, this is bullshit. Why do I have to pay long distance just to call down to 16th Street down here when, you know?
Well, when I was a kid, like before your days, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, all of New York was the same area code. None of it was long distance.
Okay.
So you didn't really have it. And so you're trying to call like upstate or Jersey. And we'll go into that, I think, a little bit later. But
right.
it just seemed weird. I mean, I guess, again, as a kid, it seemed to make sense. Like, oh, yeah, I'm calling like somewhere upstate, which for New Yorkers, that is another state. So they kind of figured that, of course, it costs more because who else calls up there? But yeah, I get that.
The other interesting thing I read was the cost of installing phones and running lines to everybody's house was much more expensive than what the market could bear. And as phones became a critical utility that really everybody needed to, have, you know, yeah. they relied on it.
Right.
They couldn't really charge you what it actually cost. So to keep the cost low, they kept the cost of long distance up. And that's how they defrayed the cost of the infrastructure. They said, well, what is the thing? You give away the razor and sell them the blades kind
right.
of thing, right?
Yeah, right. So
method, yeah. lowball them on the service.
Local calling mm-hmm. was the loss leader on the and the long distance calling made up all the.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And, you know, I was saying they didn't have to maintain the phone lines. Truthfully, though, it's not just the phone lines. There's equipment that has to be looked after, electronic devices.
Oh, sure. And upgraded. And
mm-hmm. Mo, you talked about the physical switchboards. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody probably has seen the picture on the internet of the lady wearing the cup earphones yeah. and plugging the thing into the wall.
Plugging things in different places.
Right.
Transylvania 6-5000.
Right. Eventually, those things were replaced with computerized systems or even electronic, you know, mm-hmm. mechanism things and stuff. So I guess all that stuff did have to be maintained, but damn, they really charged us for it.
Yeah,
they were. And so ultimately we knew that they were going to be sticking it to us. So we ended up finding ways around it sometimes.
Or at least minimize it, right?
Yeah, to try to minimize it. So we're going to talk about some of those ways that we did to try to minimize how they soaked us in the next segment. Stick around.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on CannedAirPodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
You live in a world where one long-distance service has made reaching out to faraway places commonplace. You've got AT&T Long Distance, connecting your phone with any phone, anywhere. Where we route your long-distance calls in seconds. Where 44,000 operators are ready to help you. It's nothing short of miraculous.
Hi, Mom.
We're AT&T. We're what you call long distance.
So we know why it was so expensive, but because it's so expensive, I know that I'm sure you guys did too. I mean, there were a million things you could do to make it less pricey, less costly going forward.
You could have strategies. You could have plans sometimes
or
tricks.
Well, there were times of the night, times of the day that were different costs, if I remember right.
Yeah,
there were.
Exactly. That was a big thing. Like, mm-hmm. I remember, like, I think Sunday night was like the cheapest. I think that was the absolute cheapest. But then evenings was always cheaper than daytime. But I remember like certain things like my dad wanted to call like a relative like in Denver. And he had to wait till like 9 p.m. because That's when the rates dropped, and that's when you could do it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, well, for starters, if you kept it out of business hours, so they started, they would try to soak businesses because they could absorb those costs. So if you, after 5 p.m. was the first drop off, that would help. But yeah, weekend, nights, the times when you wanted to not be calling was the time. Yeah. Off-peak times, right?
Right. Those well, times. And off-peak because our habits as a nation were different back then, right? Like Friday and Saturday nights and stuff, people would go out. Now it seems like everybody, well, of course, we're in COVID, so everybody's staying home all the time.
Everybody's staying home all the time.
But yeah, people don't seem to have the mass going out to movies and theaters and stuff like we used to do because we have so much entertainment in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, you've got your cell phone, so you're calling from anywhere now.
Yeah, they're if you'll call during the time when you might be going out having fun, we'll charge you less.
Right. But also, these days, though, you know, there's so many different ways of keeping communication with people. Back then, like, when you called that relative over another state, that was like, it was once a week, that was a lot, right? You know, most time it's every couple weeks. And then you had to catch up on everything that was going on for the whole week, you know. So that was almost like a visit, I guess, you know, like, hey, I'm going to call so-and-so and we're going to catch up on all the family gossip and whatnot.
And even if you're younger, you probably have heard some of this kind of in the, like the early days of cell phones in the late 90s when they would free nights and weekends, because on cell phones, there was a flavor of this, because when at the time when landlines were totally free long distance, cell phones were still finding their footing. And so it was the same kind of behavior carried over a bit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Today you could just speed dial whoever you want, but at the end of the month, you would get sticker shock.
Oh my God.
Because there's no like internet. You can't log on to your account and see how much usage you have.
Yeah.
You just were using what you were using, and that bill came. And sometimes if that bill was like quarter inch thick, you're like, oh hell, oh no.
So when do we get to start talking about our horror stories of our youth and long distance phone bills? Oh,
does it involve a sticker shock and a thick bill?
It involves sticker shock, a thick bill, and a thick belt.
Yeah.
Well,
that's I have a similar story, but you go first, George.
Let's do it.
So back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in my day. I'm trying to remember how we ended up meeting. I think it was, so there was a girl that I was dating. Uh-oh. This was late middle school, early high school time frame. She was from New York, but she had moved to Tallahassee for who knows what reason.
Right.
Why you would leave New York and come to Tallahassee, I have no idea.
Slumming it.
But she had moved here. We kind of dated a little bit, liked each other, but it didn't work out. She somehow introduced me to a friend of hers from back home in New York. And that girl and I really hit it off. Our personalities worked well and everything. But the beginning stages of it were all through actual letters. Because back then,
really old school,
that was a cheaper way to go. You could write letters.
Yeah,
and, you know, she'd spray them with perfume. And I would send her recordings of me singing terrible 80s love songs on cassette. God. Terrible crap, right?
I made you a mixtape.
Exactly. But at one point, we decided to take the leap from letters to phone calls. And I know that the rates are cheaper at night. And I know that Sunday evenings and after 11 p.m. and everything, that doesn't help when you're on the phone. Honest to God, I still remember the number today, for 47 hours.
What?
In 1 month.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm trying to imagine how much that bill was.
47 hours.
You don't have to imagine. I remember the number. $1,358.
Okay, mine's not nearly that bad. I feel better.
Yeah.
Ooh, I hope you got a belt lashing for every dollar.
He still gets one every now today.
I definitely deserve that butt whooping.
Wow.
And I felt horrible about it when that bill came in.
That's not adjusted dollars? That's like,
no, that was $1,300 back then.
That was in 80s dollars.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
It was awful.
Wow.
And I remember my mother, who I love to death, she was beside herself because she opened the bill first because she paid all the bills in the house. Mm. And she didn't want to tell my dad.
Yeah, but how do you hide $1,300?
She wanted to keep me alive.
I don't want him
sure
to die.
I was going to die.
I like my son.
So after all of that,
are used to at least.
Yeah.
Right. After everything and after the butt whoopings and the punishment and all that stuff, I still wanted to talk to the girl because I still liked her.
You best get back to writing, boy.
And my mother was like, okay, just keep the minutes down. She was still
Oh my God.
I know.
You'd have been off the phone if you was my boy. Oh my goodness.
Hell yeah.
Gracious.
Back then it was when I had I had recently gotten a phone in the bedroom. Remember we talked about having one phone in the house and then you got extra lines.
Gracious.
Whew. Yeah, it was rough.
Wow. Mine's not nearly that bad. Holy cow.
All right. All right. You go second. I have a story. You do yours next.
Okay. So mine's actually really tame compared to this one. I was still in elementary school and I went away to summer camp. And you meet a whole bunch of people there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Camp was in Connecticut, so I made a bunch of friends that didn't live in New York, probably for the first time.
Nice.
So I came back home, and of course, I'm like, oh, my dad's like, who are you doing? And this is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, oh, I'm calling Johnny or whatever, right? You know, the guy's name was the other time. He's like, oh, he's like, okay. And so we're sitting there on the phone. My dad was sitting in the chair, and he's talking. All of a sudden, I'm asking him, like, oh, so what's the weather where you are? And my dad's like, wait a minute, who are you talking to? And I'm like, oh, my friend from, from camp. And he's like, where does he live? I was like, hey, yeah, where do you live? He's like, oh, I'm in Hartford, Connecticut. My dad's like, get off the phone right now. And I'm like, what? And I had no idea.
The cord out of the wall.
Yeah, I had no idea what was going on. I was like, oh, you know, I was like freaking out. And, you know, I didn't want to tell him the three times I misdialed it. I'm trying to get his number right.
And rank somebody else.
Yeah, rank somebody else in
Connecticut. Talking to somebody in China.
Yeah, or something like that. But so that bill was not nearly bad. That was only like a $20 call at the end of it. So not $1,300 at all. I cannot top that story.
That was not
way,
so bad.
Form.
Not $1,300.
No.
I'm not even going to act like I had friends or girlfriends. Mine was all based on computers.
You were calling dial-up bulletin board services long distance, weren't you?
So my first modem, and I know you're all jealous because I'm going to tell you this. It was the one with the cup modem that you put the handset in.
Did you have the cup modem? Damn it, I wanted one of those. I still want one.
300 baud. I know, right?
300. Ooh.
Atari cup modem.
Wow, yep. I didn't know those went up to 300.
It was one of the newest ones. Yeah, last before they went to the non-cup modem. But yeah, and so I discovered BBS. This was the first time I'd ever discovered them, right? And so there were three or four in my little podunk area of Florida that I would call. But one of the areas of the message board was list of other BBSs.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right?
Of course.
It's a list.
Yeah.
And they weren't that far away. They were intrastate. They were nearby. They were just a county over, right? They were just... So like, well, we got to try it out. So you dial them up. And the thing is, once you get online, you start downloading something, you're going to stop midway. You got to finish the download. Then you have to reply to a message. And then you got to finish. I was forever on that thing. And
no clue, huh?
I didn't figure it added up to that much. And apparently it was, because at the end of the month, I remember my dad came walking in my room. My room is at the end of the house. And he came walking in.
There was nowhere for you to run.
No, there's nowhere to go unless I was out a window. And he didn't understand the phone. The computer thing necessarily. He's like, who the hell you been talking to in Winter Haven for 17 hours? Like, what? I'd understand. I'm not talking to anybody. I didn't quite get it at the time. I was probably 12 or 13, but I knew it was long distance, but didn't quite. Anyway, I think it was like $300 or $400 bucks the bill had run up to.
Wait,
he
how
showed
much?
Me the thing. It was $300 or $400.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too. I remember those bills would come in and they would actually say, like, the date, time, number.
Every call. Down to the minute.
Oh, I hated the phone company for that bullshit. Oh, my God.
And they sit you down across from the dining room. And it's a reading of the charges. And on the date of October 7th, you called this number for 12 minutes. And on the 8th, right, it's like you can't get out from under it. There's the evidence. Mm. Oh, man. And the worst was, even if you just jumped in just to check your mail, often a long distance, those first few minutes were the most expensive.
Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah, like the first 2-3 minutes were always.
So they didn't. Didn't get it cut a break.
Well, it's because they knew that was happening also. Yeah. And this is kind of unrelated, but one of the other ways they used to get you is also on things like any kind of like additional service that calls, like collect calls, right? That was another one that they would rake you over the coals.
So I saw this on our list and I wanted to ask when we got to this point, collect calling does and can have a long distance component, but it's not just long distance. Collect calling can be done locally.
Oh, yes, it can.
Or could be. I mean, not anymore.
Yeah. If you had a payphone, didn't have a quarter.
It's a reversal of charges is what it is. Is whatever I would have incurred, and you have to go through an operator.
So there's like, additional charge for that.
Hey, operator, you know, hey, this is Mo calling. Would you accept the charges? And basically, I'm going to pay on my bill instead of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was, I remember collect calling mainly from like payphones before cell phones were a thing.
Me too. Yeah, that's supposed to
be. You had to call your parents, you know, you were maybe at the movie theater or something like that, and you were told to call your parents.
You did have a dime.
And you would game the system, right?
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
State your name here.
Yes, exactly.
George is fine and coming home soon. That's your name.
And you're like, decline.
Right. Because
they've already got the message. That's right.
Exactly.
You'd have a code. Yep.
Yeah, we had one when I was my first year in college, I remember, because me and my dad had a standing call that we would talk every Sunday morning. And so he knew I was ready because I would call him from a particular payphone and call collect. And I would say, collect call from, I forget what name we use, but we had some name we came up with. And he'd be, nope, declined, hang up. And then he'd call me back because it was cheaper. You would call me at the payphone.
No, it's calling you was cheaper than the collect call because that
collect call, right.
Yep. Collect call did have a higher price than a regular long distance call. Yep.
Yep. Now, if you didn't want to do collect calls, another thing that you could do that became a big deal, especially toward the end of long distance, as I remember, were calling cards. And I don't mean like a business card.
Oh, I hated those things.
MCI.
Oh my God. But the preloaded.
Yes, right. The preloaded. Yeah. It was like a credit card just for your phone. Right?
And the back had like this 13 million digit number you could
dial. It did. Yep.
And some of them were, like you're talking about, were the prepaid ones, but then there were the other ones that just gave you a discount,
right?
You would, MCI calling cards.
You say it went to a different carrier or something, right?
There was no money on that thing. It just gave you certain amount. And is it because that number routed you through their network, so they knew they were going to get something? Is that why you got
that? That was related to the carrier access codes that we'll talk about later. It was, but the ones that I'm thinking of are specifically the ones that I remember somebody would say, well, I can't call you because I'm out of minutes on my card.
Oh, right.
Right. You could buy it at a grocery store. You could buy it was everywhere. Places
we sold
you can
them in our grocery store.
Anywhere you can buy cigarettes or milk or bread is where you can buy calling cards. They were a staple. People would
pick up, like, 100 minutes for $10 or whatever it was. Right. It was like
some people wouldn't have long distance on their phone at all, because often you would have to put down a deposit to get long distance service, and they just wouldn't do it. They would just get cards.
And those cards cheated you every time, because they might say $10 for 100 minutes, but you never got more than like 92 if you were lucky.
Well, it's kind of like getting a gift card or something. You never really spent all of it.
Right. Well, like so many of those things, you're being charged a tax if you cannot go through the system. Like folks that can't get a bank account, they end up paying more for things because they can't go through the system. Anyone that couldn't get long distance service or do it that way, they end up paying extra because they can't set forth it's a tax on the poor. Another one. Now, something that I think, again, listeners that never dealt with long distance might not realize is lots of companies have their business number is an 800 number or an 888 number.
Well, now it's 888, but it used to be just 800.
Yeah, and that's just a number now. That's just a universal. Oh, it's a business. But that used to mean something.
Oh, yeah.
If your prefix was an 800 number, that was a secret code that meant this is a toll-free call. It was an automatic collect call.
Yeah, call, toll-free.
It meant that my parents' bank account got emptied out. That's what it meant to our family.
What was that? An 800 number did. It shouldn't cost you anything. Why?
Well, so I have another story.
Funny you should ask.
Here we go. Another story. Does it end with a belt again? Oh, boy.
No, fortunately, I was on the other side of the country when this one went down, so they couldn't get to me. John, you remember I moved to California.
Oh, this is the ISP story, isn't it?
The ISP story.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead. Yep.
So ISP here in Tallahassee, Florida, they had an 800 number that you could use to call into your ISP and do all your internet stuff, right?
Yes.
And when I moved to California.
Right. It's dial-up internet, kids, on the phone.
Yeah. I didn't have an internet service provider out there for a little while, and I was using the 800 number of that one because when we first set it up, it said the ISP 800 number was free. They changed all their stuff, but didn't notify everyone. It went from being a free service to being a paid per minute, just like a long distance call.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still 800.
And it was an 800 number.
Wow.
And so I was on my internet all the time because when I first moved out into California, I didn't have a job and I was on the internet all day long.
Nothing else to do.
And they were automatically debiting the tolls out of my parents' bank account because it was from their account there in Tallahassee, and they emptied their bank account completely.
Wow.
Because the 800 number was reversing charges to the ISP, but then they were charging you on your card.
Exactly. Plus, there was probably a premium put on top of it, I'm sure.
Administrative fees.
So they ended up getting the money back through a lawsuit. Almost all the money, not all of it. But
I still remember when 800 numbers, though, that was like the thing. You know, of course, it was always like KTEL records or something like that that would have them. But
everybody, they wanted you to call and place an order or do your business. They would say, we'll pay for the call if you'll call and give us money.
Right. Toll free on the infomercial screen or whatever it was.
For the longest time, though, it was just 800. And then 888 came around because I guess they ran out of numbers.
They ran out of 800
numbers. And they had to come up with 888. Right. Yeah,
and
that's crazy.
877, I think, was
that
the third one.
After,
that came along later, too.
And then there was 900 numbers. That's a totally
different
thing.
That's a whole other podcast, dude.
That's another story entirely.
Do you remember like when you had to like when you were on long distance, you knew how much it cost, and they tell you there's stress attached to that because you're looking at the clock constantly because you're saying how long is this call, how long is this call?
Unless you were George calling your girlfriend, you were, yeah. But normal people,
I had stress watching the clock of money after that one.
Afterwards, yeah. Oh, you did, right? You're like, man, we've been on the phone a long time. We should probably get off. Today, you don't have that stress of like you talk until you're done talking.
Mm-hmm. No,
you certainly would. You were cognizant of every minute is costing me. Do I really need to talk for another couple of minutes? Do we get everything handled? Have we talked everything? Let me go ahead and tell you these last couple of things and get done. Whereas now you just talk until it's naturally completed. You couldn't do that. So.
Right. And it was mostly separated by area code. John, I don't know if, I think you were in Tallahassee when this happened. I can't remember. But originally Tallahassee was a 904 area code.
Yeah. And is it not still?
No, now it's 850. It's been 850 for 20 years now. They split it off and Jacksonville is 904.
Oh, it's split up. Yeah. Because I'm in 904. Yeah. Over here.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, it was all one.
Oh my God. That was a thing in New York. I mean, because originally New York, all of the boroughs were 212. Everybody
you
was
were saying, right.
Yeah. Well, then it was like in the mid 80s, it was like 84 when they started running out of phone numbers. So they said, okay, we're going to switch some of the boroughs to 718. And let me tell you, oh my God, there was almost riots because they're like, well, Manhattan and the Bronx are going to keep 212. Everybody else is going to go 718. So one, everyone's pissed off because now you have to remember to dial 718 if you call
different
somebody
numbers, right?
For
right.
a borough. Yeah. Then there was the fear that, wait, you're going to start charging us long distance. That was the fear that they said, you're going to charge. And they're like, no, we're never going to charge this. It's just because we're out of numbers. And
so there they split the area codes, but didn't charge long distance.
But didn't charge long distance, right?
Ah.
Yeah, so it was just confusion. They actually were just adding a code, not making it long distance, keeping it local, but it seemed long distance.
Right, because you still, you do 1-718.
Yeah,
da, 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 da.
Right.
And it's making even worse. For a while, they grandfathered the numbers. So you could call, if someone was in Queens, the 212 and the 718 both worked for a certain amount of time. Until they did the switch, then it stopped.
Until they needed that number again for somebody else, probably.
And the thing that was really aggravating, like my mom, she actually lived in Jersey, like literally across the river from Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 201. And every time he talked to her, that was a long distance phone call. And so calling my mom was like, it's my mom. You know, I'm in elementary school or high school or something. You know, you kind of do need to talk to your parents every now and then. So that was always, though, she'd always be the one, why are you calling now? It's so expensive. Call me back in like 2 hours. And I'm like, why I gotta go to bed? You know, she's like, I don't care. Yeah. But yeah, that was a whole thing. And now New York even has more area codes because they have one for mobile numbers now. They have one that they started just for that, just because they ran out of so
many.
We have
so much density there. That's so much population density. Yeah. I can only imagine. People have multiple phones and work lines.
Yeah,
crazy.
And then there's upstate, which always had their own area code, which whatever that was. Because that's upstate. No one cared in New York City. So
we're talking about strategies to get around by when you call or how you call late at night, or maybe you fake the collect call. But weren't there some methods that you could try to like scam the phone company with some codes or sounds or something?
Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know anything about this. Not because I'm trying to act like I'm innocent. I actually don't know anything about this. So how did that work? What was the deal?
So there was a guy, there were two guys back in the day. One guy was a blind guy who had perfect pitch. And so he could hear the tones that were needed, and somebody somehow learned which tones basically unlocked a phone system so that you could call on it without having to put quarters into a payphone.
Mm-hmm.
Then they found in a box of Captain Crunch a whistle that mimicked those same tones.
The perfect frequency.
It had that pitch perfectly.
It was the perfect frequency for it.
And so they were going around. And that's why the first phone hacker, I think he was considered the first hacker of any kind, really. His nickname is Captain Crunch. And he had that little whistle. He was the guy who figured that part out and went around all over the place to payphones. And I remember in one of the documentaries I saw, he would just go up. Somebody would be about to use the payphone. He said, hang on. And he would do the whistling sounds into the phone, say, here you go, free calls for that phone.
Yeah. Because the original phones, everything was pretty much still analog. And then when they started creating like switches, they all worked off tones. So actually what happened is that in my high school, some kids went there. They had a payphone in the lobby. And so what they do is they hooked up a recorder to the phone and started feeding quarters. Because every time you put a quarter in, it made a tone. Mm-hmm. And then they realized if you play that tone, it sounded like money going in. And they assumed that you paid
it. So they captured the tone that was naturally happening. So they could repeat it.
And repeat it. The Captain Crunch whistle, I think it made them think it was someone was repairing the phone and needed a test.
Like a serviceman. Serviceman.
And they needed to test it so it then opened the line so they could call whoever they were. It was crazy.
And it was back when remember, John, we talked about rotary phones, right? So rotary phones weren't susceptible to this. It was when they introduced touch tone phones.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So that transition, remember when pay phones, they used to have the rotary dial, then they went to the push buttons. Mm-hmm. Those were the phones that they could hack.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
It actually worked off tones. Who knew?
I'm really sad that I totally missed out. Like, I'm the kind of nerd that would have tried that if I had known it was a thing.
The documentary on it is really interesting. There's a couple of them, but they're really, really good.
There's a documentary. Oh, now I'm in. Okay.
Yeah, I'll find you the title of it. I saw one a while ago. It was all about the whole Captain Crunch and how he discovered it. And it's pretty cool.
I'm in. I want to see that. All right. If we find it, we'll throw it down the show notes so you can dig it up too, because I'm interested.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dino Tripodis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at GenXGrownUp.com.
Uncle Ralph, long distance from California.
It's a big Saturday, Alice. Let me say happy birthday to the little fella, huh?
Here, Johnny. But don't hang up this time, promise?
Promise.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Johnny. Happy birthday.
Call anytime Saturday without an operator and talk 5 minutes for 85 cents plus tax.
We had mentioned at the top of the show that in many countries, especially like here in the United States and Canada, all over North America, those long distance rates were kept high, even though they were no longer upgrading telegraph lines, to subsidize that unprofitable local service.
Were they required to give everybody a phone? Was that what it was?
No, you didn't have to. It was just,
they didn't have to give you a phone, but you didn't own the phone.
Right. Yeah. You leased it for sure.
They had to make service available. It was like the mail. Everybody had to have the accessibility of getting a phone. Yeah, you couldn't not get access.
Got it.
Even if you're out in the woods or whatever.
And I know you talk about those unprofitable flat rates. Those rates didn't stay flat all the time, though. Those rates went up over years. Like, I remember when I was a kid, the local phone part of the bill was like $15. But then later on, like 5-10 years later, it was $45.
Hmm. It was still a flat rate, but
Yeah.
I don't even have recollection of what local phone service used to cost when I was a kid. I don't remember looking at those bills. I mean, maybe you must have when you were a kid.
Well,
after that $1,300
you ring up a big long distance bill, you're going to pay attention.
You're going to look at every bill when it comes in.
That's
I need to check it before you look. Yeah, I need to make sure. So since long distance was the primary cost then for many people on their phone bill, there started to be, and because it was artificially increased, there started to be kind of a bidding war, intense competition between long distance companies trying to narrow that gap of what it actually cost. So there was the big AT&T that was that Ma Bell that got broken up, not the AT&T we know today. And there was all these different ones. You had MCI we talked about and AT&T. And
was Sprint around back then?
Sprint came along. Yeah, yeah. Certainly. There were Altel and a whole bunch of others that I remember.
There was Bell South down here.
Yep. And the first thing that I realized them was I started getting phone calls. This was right when I was living by myself and had my own phone line. And as before, this was early spam. This was the first version of, we want to talk to you about the warranty on your car calls.
Can we talk to you about your long distance service?
Yeah, it was the, do you want to change your long distance carrier?
Well, that's right.
Mm-hmm. How much are you paying for long distance?
Then? Because there was a long distance carrier attached to your phone. Like if you just dialed regularly, it went to a particular carrier.
And the long distance carrier didn't have to be the same as your local carrier.
Right. You could pick.
That's right. Yep. Now, when you signed up, they would pick for you, but you could change it at a whim. All you had to do was say, and you could change it. It was not a big deal. It used to be you could pay a ton. Like in the 80s, they say from New York City to Los Angeles during prime could cost as much as $2.71 a minute. It's like $6 a minute today.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like 1-900 number.
That's a different podcast, man. That's a different podcast.
Well, again. Right. You seem to know a lot about it. Maybe we'll put that on the schedule. Yes. But those prices were driving down, and they would say, oh, it's $1 a minute or 80 cents a minute or, you know, 70 cents a minute. And so you started getting those calls. And if you didn't want to change your phone long distance carrier provider, they started getting these ads. The big one I remember was the 1010321.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy to remember.
And they had many of them like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the way it worked was just like the, I can imagine, like the Captain Crunch whistle or whatever, you would enter a code. And so their code was by entering 10 and the 10 and then 321. And what that did was switch you to a different carrier. It was an access code, yeah, and it rerouted you to that company. So now the next thing you dial was on their service. So you get a separate bill from them for that call.
Yeah.
And they would say, oh, well, this will be 20 cents a minute or 15 cents a minute or whatever.
I remember being at like at a friend's house or somebody else's house and having to do that. And it's like 1010321. And then your number you're trying to call, then pound, then your number, then right, your access code. And then you're going to screw it up somewhere. I mean, you just, it's just like impossible not to mess
so
that up.
So that's what I remember too, that they all had different rates to different places from my location.
Right. That's right. And it wasn't universal. Oh, yeah.
Depending upon who I was calling, I would use a different one. And I had this red phone. I'll never forget it. It was kind of a flat red phone that had the body style of like an old rotary phone, but smushed down, but it was touch tones. But on the left side of it, there were four little memory hotkey buttons. And I programmed each one of those with the different
carrier access codes
and the number that I would call that got the cheaper rate on that one.
Yeah.
So I had those four little speed dial memory things. This is long before you had the speed dial on your cell phone. God.
And it had to be like, Jesus, enough numbers already, right?
Like a damn fax machine sound.
Oh, it's crazy.
There was another method of like trying to game the system, but what you were doing was trying to leverage these different offers made by the different companies.
Yeah.
They were fighting. Yeah.
Yeah.
You go to Wendy's because you want this kind of burger and it costs this much, or you go to Burger King because you want that kind of burger and it costs X amount. And that's what you would do with these phone carriers. You would just try to find who had the better deal, and they changed often.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people would change their long distance carriers like nothing. I mean, it was like, oh, give me this cheaper. All right, I'm switching. And it was just done.
I definitely did. You know, initially, I found those calls to be annoying at first. I'm like, oh, what a pain, what a pain. And then finally, when I realized, wait a minute, they're actually making an offer that's probably better than I have, I probably changed every 3 months or so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would regularly just go ahead. What do you got offered? All right, lay it on me. It's a flat 12 cents a minute. It's a flat 10 cents a minute. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
I mean, think now is like, because we don't have many options for like internet carriers, you know, you don't get that kind of competition anymore. And I'm like, this is like pure capitalism at work there, because, you know, they could get anybody and they were just trying to switch. We could switch. And if they were making less profit, they didn't care as long as they get you over there. Because I figure once you're there, you're not going to switch back.
And that was when it was great for consumers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because all that competition bred lower prices and better quality service for us. It's just like, you know, recently I started talking about having the new internet service provider here in Tallahassee. Now Comcast calls me every other day. Hey, would you like business Comcast for X? No, you piece of shit. You should have offered that to me six months ago when you could have. But no, you waited until somebody else was in here competing against you and taking your business.
How you like me now? Suddenly you got a new, you're dating somebody new. Now you're looking real good to Comcast, aren't you? You know, you talked about MCI. We talked about the, all this kind of comes together with the MCI and the collect calls and stuff. MCI added an 800 service. Do you remember 1-800-COLLECT?
Yep.
That was MCI's deal.
What was that
so
one about?
If you went to anywhere, but a payphone especially, rather than calling someone collect, you would just pick it up and call 1-800-COLLECT. The genius, they got that number. Nobody else, everybody wanted that probably, and they stumbled upon it. And by doing that, they had these flat rates for placing collect calls, because now it was no longer a collect call. They were placing a point-to-point call between you and someone else that wasn't collect now, and they had their special rates. So that was another way to try
And you just got a bill for it later.
Yep. It was still collect. So the person receiving the call still paid for it, but it wasn't so jacked up like if you just reverse charges from a payphone or something.
It was
still
cheaper. Yeah.
And that was just another way to try to, through collect calls, game the system. You know, and by and large, we've said long distance is pretty much, whether it's on a landline or even on your cell phone or anything, it's pretty much gone mostly.
Yeah.
There's a few places it's still hanging around. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. Stick around.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking Join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/Patreon.
Friends, 10-3-2-1 has changed to 10-10-3-2-1, but nothing's really changed. You still save over AT&T on every call in the U.S. and still save 50% on every call over 20 minutes. There's no need to sign up. Just dial 10-10-3-2-1, then 1, then the number as usual. For me, it's the 50%, isn't it?
Now, all of this we've been talking about, all this long-distance stuff, was on landline phones, something that many people don't even have in their house anymore at all. We're talking about the phone that plugs in the wall on copper wires that's not connected to the internet at all.
Right.
Yeah.
I just read an article in the last few weeks that in the UK, the technology that powers landline phones is getting switched off in 2025.
Wow.
Mm. Gone. It's just, they're turning it off. Copper wire phone calls will not exist.
Yeah. So no landlines at all.
Now, you can still have a landline, but it will be connected to the internet. It'll use VoIP technology.
Oh, like a voiceover.
Yeah, voiceover.
That's right. So the only way to make a landline phone call, you will have to have an active internet connection.
There's going
to
be a lot of nervous people in England because you know a lot of people are going to be like, what happens if the internet goes down?
I can't
call, you know, 999 because it's not 911 over there, right? But.
I remember when I was a kid, like we had the wireless phones.
Oh, right.
Right.
And we had a blackout. So none of the phones worked because they're all plugged in, right? You need it.
Right. Because the landline phones drew their power through the cable.
My dad goes in his closet. He had an old rotary phone that for some reason he still had, unscrewed the wall, pulled the wires out, connected it, and it worked because it gets power separate from the regular power grid.
Yeah. It's not through the power grid. It's right through the copper.
And he was able to call my grandmother and it worked just fine.
My mother just disconnected her landline phone like 3 months ago.
Well, actually, I did some digging after I saw this, and they said that right now, well, as of 2018, they said over half the households in the United States only use their mobile phone. And they said right now, there's like less than 5% have only a landline.
Oh, I don't know anybody that only has a landline.
Yeah.
Again, I can't imagine. Who's that?
Yeah, it's somebody's grandmother or something that just has a landline.
And we mentioned briefly that cell phones went through this a little bit, right? So when cell phones first came out, you paid per minute and you had roaming and you had regions and you looked at cell phone coverage and you had the nights and weekends kind of thing.
Friends and family.
Friends and family.
Friends
and
family. I don't have enough people to fill up my 10 slots.
But even with cell phones, that's pretty much gone away. The only place that I think that there's any real kind of pay per minute on any kind of phone at all is if you're making a call internationally.
Yeah, it's still there.
There is certainly still a charge on per minute calls internationally. And it depends on where you're talking about. Like we're mainly U.S. centric is what we're discussing here. Mm-hmm. In the Philippines, it's still very much long distance rates and all that kind of stuff. And the reason why I know, obviously, my wife's Filipino. We call over there quite often. They even have different rates when you call the Philippines, whether you're calling a landline over there or a cell phone over there.
Oh, wow.
There's different per minute charge
for
depending
connecting.
Upon what Holy number moly. You're calling and what service it is. Yeah. She just recently stopped using it, like probably in the last 6 months. We had Vonage because Vonage like the old days of those, you know, long distance carrier battles that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Vonage and a couple of the other voice over IP companies have international package rates that they give. So free to Canada and blah, blah, blah. 5 cents a minute to the UK, 13 cents a minute to the Philippines, you know, those kinds of things. But it's all bundled in these different international packages, Asia international package, European international package, that kind of a thing.
Got it.
So they're still out there and people still use them.
Mm-hmm.
just through different methods now.
Right. As recently as even just 10 years ago, when I started traveling internationally for business, I realized like, oh man, if I'm, you know, if I'm in Malaysia or if I'm in the UK or something, it's expensive to make any kind of a call. First on a hotel phone, forget that. You're not going to use a hotel phone.
Crazy.
Like, okay, well, let's use my cell phone. Well, even that's super expensive.
Right.
So quickly, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use Skype because I set up a Skype account and I put like $10 in it. And they were charging like 10 cents a minute international. Yeah. And they were charging money international. They still do a little bit. But today, there are lots of internet services that don't charge squat.
Yeah.
You could just bypass the phone and just use, you know, something like a WhatsApp or Zoom or whatever. And you don't need any of that stuff to make a voice or now.
It's what we've been doing for the last year and a half now during COVID. Everybody, all these call services, you know, Zoom and Microsoft Teams and everything else, you know.
You know, it's funny how much things have changed because I remember as a kid, like area codes were important, right? Like if I was talking to a friend in New York and we were curing, what's your number? I would just give him my number. Like I wouldn't give an area code. But now it's like area codes have almost lost their meaning. They just know that you once lived in a particular area because you have that area code. And, you know, I don't know if that even matters
anymore.
Or
you've done it through Google Phone or Google Voice, whatever it is, and you've picked a number in Montana.
I want it to look like I'm from Ohio.
Right.
It doesn't make any difference, right?
Yeah. Yep. It's like, it's just so weird, you know?
I mean, the days of subsidizing the cost of the phone infrastructure on the back of long distance is gone because there's no reason for us to pay for any long distance, even international these days. Maybe convenience of having your phone. Maybe if I'm on a bus or something and I just don't want to deal with some kind of a service, I might pick it up and dial. But there's so many other options to make phone calls anywhere in the world.
Or just to communicate at all.
For the cost of my cell service that's already covered, why would I bother, you know, to incur the fee?
And honestly, our generation is probably the old dinosaur making calls at all. My kids don't even like to be on the phone.
I know.
Yeah.
Why'd you call me? You could have just texted me.
You could have texted.
I wanted to have a conversation.
Because when I text you, don't damn reply. That's why I called. Jeez.
Or a 3-minute conversation takes 27 minutes because my thumbs aren't that damn fast.
And you text a whole bunch of stuff, and what you get back is a thumbs up. That's all you get. Like, right. I ask 4 questions. Which one is that in response to?
Or you're trying to decipher whatever shortcuts that they, you know, where the hell are these, what's this acronym? I don't know what this acronym means.
Why are you sending me an eggplant? I'm not hungry, damn it. What the hell is that about?
That means something different. Can I buy a vowel? Any of these mean words? I don't understand.
Or now we're sounding old.
Now we're sounding old. Either way, I think we can agree that long distance being gone is, that's a positive. That's a net plus. That's something we're glad is actually gone.
It's one less thing to worry about, right?
You're not going
to
get that $1,300 surprise at the end of the month on that anymore, at least. No more whoopings for you, George. I mean, you might get whoopings, but not for that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, not for that, at least. I'm still getting my ass beat every day, but not for that.
Thank you so much for joining us for this backtrack on the long distance phone calls. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another backtrack, of course, next week with a regular edition of our show. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know, I appreciate you, man.
Always fun, man.
And fourth listener, it's you, though, we appreciate most of all. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washy shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. That's coming your way September 2nd. We hope you'll take our call.
Oh, jeez.
Fucking A. Jesus
Christ. Oh, my God.
Somebody's got to write stupid shit.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.